Pinstripe Podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Joe Auriemma and a panel of guests discuss the 27-time and defending world champion New York Yankees. And here's Joe Auriemma.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to YesNetwork.com. This is the first edition of the Pinstripe Podcast here in the 2010 season. I am Joe Auriemma, and with me is the great Jack Curry, our new addition here on the Yes Network. Jack, it's great to have you on the Pinstripe Podcast.
It's great to be here, Joe, and I love that introduction. That's wonderful. keep it coming.
Jack, it's well-deserved. You've been around the Yankees now for, you know, over two decades, and your work is wonderful, and it's just great to have you here with the Yes Network. And speaking of those Yankees, Jack, what do you like about what you've seen from this team so far to start the season?
I'm going to steal some of the lines that Brian Cashman used to me today in an earlier interview that I had with him. He talked about he loves the fact that the 2010 team has maintained some of the heartbeat of the 2009 team. Of course, talking about the home opener, he loved the way that the team was both a combination of joking around but still serious. Mm-hmm. They had their prank with Matsui in the ring and all that. But when the game started, you had your standbys. We call them the core four. Everybody knows them. The Pettits, Posadas, Riveras, and Jeters. And those are the things, Joe, that I think that the Yankees have to watch this year. They went through last season without any injuries. They were a healthy team. All of the guys that I just mm-hmm. mentioned are in their 30s, some upper 30s. So I think those are the things I'm watching for. I think the fact that they were able to go on the road to Boston and Tampa, lose the first game of both series, and come back and win two out of three, very important. It may not look like it, but it's a very important way to start your season when you're looking at the two teams that I think a lot of people believe are going to be the two teams with the Yankees that are going to fight it out all year in the AL East.
It's really a good sign, like you said, that the Yankees, you know, lose those first two games of the series on the road in tough environments and come back and win the next two games and essentially win the series. I feel like this Yankee team got hot in the playoffs last year. They win the World Series with good pitching, good starting pitching, a good bullpen, and timely hitting. And I feel like they've kind of just started where they left off this season. I don't know your thoughts on that. What do you think about the intangibles that the Yankees have brought to the table?
Those are some of the things I talked to Cashman about today, and he said you're always looking for ways to distance yourself between the competition and who you feel the chief competition is. So there definitely is a feeling of 09 that carries into 2010, but I think this team would tell you, too, they want to create their own identity. Will we see a pie in the face the first time there's a walk-off? I assume we probably will, but... Maybe A.J. Burnett has something else up his sleeve. Maybe it's a peanut butter pie or something this year. But I definitely think there's no doubt the Yankees are extremely talented. Vasquez, who struggled in his first start, but who I still think is going to be a huge addition for them in the four hole, I think he makes a big difference in why this 2010 team can succeed.
And you talked about, Brian Cashman and new additions to this team and a new identity. Hideki Matsui coming back yesterday, it was a very nice scene. The whole team, you know, hugged him. But that's kind of like the old guard moving on now, where Matsui and Damon are now out of the picture. And, you know, a guy like Nick Johnson, who he just every time I feel like he's at the plate, it's a 3-2 count. He walks, you know, all the time. He had a good hitting performance on opening day. Curtis Granderson has been great, a dead red fastball hitter, and Jonathan Papelbon found that out firsthand in the first series. These three players, even Javi Vasquez, can bring a new identity to this Yankee clubhouse.
You're absolutely right, Joe, and I think it's interesting that you brought up the combination of Matsui versus Nick Johnson. And of course, it's not a battle between those two guys, but in some ways it is mm-hmm. because we're talking about the guy who was the principal DH last year, and now in Johnson, the guy who's handling that job this year. And as nice a guy as Nick Johnson is, we talked about this on the post game after the game yesterday, there had to be a part of him that as Matsui was getting all that love yesterday, maybe shook his head a little bit and said, wow, I'm replacing a guy with pretty big shoes here,
yeah.
which he already knew. But for him, Joe, to hit a home run in that first at-bat with Miley Cyrus as his walk-up music, by the way, in honor of his daughter.
Yes.
So we have to give him a little pass on that. But seriously, for him to do that, very important. And as you said, the Yankees wanted this guy for the on-base percentage. They wanted this guy because he grinds out at-bats. And we've seen a lot of that already from him. And he's proven that even when he's not getting a 2-for-4 day, he can be a problem for pitchers.
Now, a player with the Yankees that has had trouble with, you know, April starts has been Mark Teixeira. And actually, it's funny because you, down in spring training, I was standing right next to you when you were interviewing Mark Teixeira in the middle of a spring training game, and you asked him about the slow starts, and, you know, he did, you know, fess up to it, but he did say that it's something that he's had to deal with throughout his career, and that, you know, just look at the back of the baseball card, and that's going to be my numbers at the end of the year. So even with Teixeira's slow start, I mean, there really is no concern here, right?
No, there isn't any long-term concern, right. But we know Teixeira, and I guarantee you that leaving the ballpark as he does now with an average in the 100s somewhere, it annoys him and it aggravates him. But I also think that he's smart enough to realize that, yes, he's not suddenly going to become a guy who goes from close to 40 home runs and 130 runs batted in to 20 and 60. Mark Teixeira will produce. The sooner he does it, the better it is for the Yankees. But he pretty much gave April away last year.
Yeah.
And look at the numbers he ended up with.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd like to get it going a little sooner this year, but he is the type of guy, you can't worry about him. It's a cliche, and baseball people use it a lot, but you have to go based on track record. And I do think that by the end of the year, Teixeira's numbers will be there.
Now, I want to talk about two homegrown Yankees that they have in the bullpen. You know, everybody talks about the Jabba rules, and, you know, that's now over with. And Jabba's back in the pen, back in the role that has made him a superstar here in New York as the eighth inning setup man. And David Robertson, another homegrown Yankee who was just loaded with talent, had a bad outing in his in the opening day outing that he had. But look, these are two guys that the Yankees are going to rely on in their bullpen this year. What are your thoughts on these two players?
Well, let's start with Robertson, Joe, because you never want to have the kind of outing he had yesterday. But if you're going to have it, yesterday was the day to have it. He's working with a 6-run cushion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he was maybe the one Yankee who left here without a smile on his face yesterday. Although, you know what? He had a World Series ring. I'm going to say he's still smiling. But I like him because he can come in and get you that strikeout.
Right.
And I think that's what Joe Girardi likes about him, too. He can pitch to righties. He can pitch to lefties. And I'm giving him a wash on yesterday.
Right.
I would not think that just because he gave up a grand slam, you suddenly can't count on Dave Robertson. I know that Kim Jones said that there was a little bit of communication between Roberts yesterday and the catcher, and maybe there wasn't. But pitchers are not always going to succeed. And as far as Jabba goes, I really thought with what we saw in Jabba earlier in the season, that eighth inning was just something that if you're the Yankees, you're holding on to that. You're cherishing that he could do that
right
against the Red Sox, and you're saying maybe we have our eighth inning guy. That being said, I also don't blame the Yankees and Joe Girardi for not wanting to rush out and say, hey, this is our eighth inning guy.
Right.
And I can say it. You and I can speculate about it. But I think Joe Girardi is still figuring out roles in that bullpen. I'm not sure he knows that Jabba is the eighth inning guy. I think he'd like it to go that way. But I think we're kind of seeing the Yankees maybe waving, putting that carrot in front of Jabba and giving him something to chase. But as you said, homegrown guys, and both of them will be pivotal this year for the Yankees.
Well, when we come back to the Pinstripe Podcast, we're going to talk about a team that is struggling out of the gate, unlike the Yankees, in New York, once the King of Queens, and now the Mets off to a rough start. So keep it right here at YesNetwork.com.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features, only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
And welcome back to the Pinstripe Podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I'm Joe Auriemma here with Jack Curry. And Jack, we talked about the Yankees. Not a lot of worries for Yankee fans. They're a very deep team. They're going to be there at the end of the year and possibly into October, but a team that is struggling right out of the gate and already has its fan base calling up New York radio stations and asking for Jerry Manuel's head on a stick is the New York Mets. It's really rough right now in Queens.
It is rough, Joe, and the Mets have an angry fan base. The Mets have a fan base that saw them collapse a couple of Septembers in a row and then saw them just wade their way through a disastrous season last year. injury after injury after injury. And having been out at Citi Field a lot last year in my previous role as a national baseball writer for the New York Times, I got to talk to some of those fans. I got to see some of that anger. And I think you're right, it's carried over into this year. And where I fault the Mets, Joe, is that I think they needed to add a pitcher.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you and I are talking right now as Joel Piñeiro is shutting down the Yankees, because this is one of the guys that I thought the Mets could have gotten. Now, the Mets were willing to go 2 years, $15 million for him. He ended up signing with the Angels for 2 years, $16 million. I only bring him up because he's the obvious guy to talk about today, but I just didn't think the Mets could go into this season believing in Oliver Perez, John Maine. I think you needed one more guy to put behind Santana to give yourself a little more breathing room. And Beltran gets hurt, and you know, before spring training, Reyes gets hurt. And it was just like before the Mets even played a game, it felt like it was 2009 again. I don't know if firing Jerry Manuel is the right thing to do, but do I think it's going to happen? Yes, I do, because I think the Mets are going to continue to sputter. I think there's going to be an outcry for them to do something. And quite frankly, Joe, what I think they should do is reach back to their past and hire Bobby Valentine. Because I think at this...
Totally agree.
I think at this point, the Mets not only need a new infusion of blood and energy there, but they kind of need somebody who beats his chest a little bit and says, hey, we matter. And Bobby Valentine, whether you love him or you hate him, he will draw attention to the Mets. And I also think he'll help them as a manager.
In your dealings with Omar Minaya, what was his reasonings for not getting a starting pitcher behind Johan Santana? Because this is a team that everybody going into the offseason said, if it's not John Lackey, it's got to be one of the second-tier free agent pitchers. And they didn't even go out and do that.
I totally agree with you, Joe. And I give the Mets credit for not falling into the Lackey trap. I think the Red Sox overpaid for Lackey. Mm-hmm. I think that contract will look good for 2 or 3 years. I'm not sure if it'll look good for 5. But after you don't get Lackey, you're right. You need to bring in another arm. I remember specifically talking to Omar Minaya after Piñeiro signed with the Angels, and he just said we weren't going to go to that number. I later found out that their number was very close. And I think at that point, if you're the Mets, you've got to go maybe the extra million for Piñeiro. Am I totally sold that the Joel Piñeiro we saw last year is the pitcher we're going to see for the next 2, 3, 4 years? I'm not, but I think the Mets were in a position where they needed to have another pitcher. And if you kept Piñeiro in the National League and he threw that sinker the way he's throwing it today, he might win another 15 games.
You're
he might have
right.
done that with the Mets.
You're right. And look, they didn't get the pitcher that they wanted. They went out and got 8 catchers, which still boggles my mind. But the one catcher that I thought they needed to bring in was Benji Molina, that they were really close with bringing here, and they didn't even go out and do that to kind of infuse their fan base.
Well, on that one, you can't almost blame them because they offered more money, and Molina wanted another year.
Right.
So since he didn't get the extra year, it was easier for him to just stay in San Francisco for what I think was $500,000 less.
Right.
But you're right, it just seemed like every day the Mets were signing another catcher. And you don't want to pick on a team, although sometimes it's hard not to.
Yeah.
Because they and I think the Mets would tell you that they deserve it. It's been a rough go for their fans. You would love to get it back to a point where the Yankees and the Mets are both competitive. I mean, one of the best World Series, or at least leading up to it, that I can ever remember covering is that Subway Series. But I think right now the Mets almost have to go back to the drawing board. They have a lot of work to do.
You know, one guy that all these Mets fans keep talking about is Ike Davis, how Ike Davis should really be up on the major league level right now. Jacobs is not the answer at first base. Now, I agree with him in part that I think that he is going to be a very talented player. I don't know, you know, we don't know with any prospect how good they're going to be. But I also feel like the Mets are kind of holding him back, because if he doesn't do well at the major league level, you know, his value does diminish a bit. And at the trade deadline, they could go out and get a pitcher behind Johan Santana. That's kind of been my theory throughout this whole Ike Davis, you know, how good he did in spring training and why they sent him back to the minor leagues. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're right about Jacobs. Jacobs looks like his best time in the major leagues has passed him by. Obviously, when Daniel Murphy comes back, they want that position to be his. Prospects are a very tough thing. Are you rushing a guy? Are you putting a guy out there too early? I didn't see Ike Davis play this spring training because mm-hmm. obviously, like you, I was on the Tampa side with the Yankees.
Right.
But from all the things that I read, the Mets believe that this kid is a star of the future. They must feel that they're not ready to, quote, rush this guy to the major leagues. Maybe they don't think this is the right time. It's a losing environment. Maybe they want to get to a position where they want to see if when Murphy gets back, he can finally do something. But I do believe from, like I said, the people I've talked to and the things I've read, this kid is going to be something for them in the future. Is the future now? They don't think it is.
And that's the other thing. You know, that might be something to bring Met fans back. If Ike Davis is a good player, you know, there's nobody that's really wowing them on this team right now, especially with Beltran out and Reyes not being 100% yet. Why not take a chance on an Ike Davis and try to bring the fan base back to root for a homegrown player like Ike Davis?
It's a very sound argument, and like I said, they must have their reasoning that they must think that the kid at this moment is not ready to contribute at the major league level, or maybe he is ready and they just want him to get some more seasoning in the minor leagues. You have to hope that they know their players better than anybody else.
That's
and,
true.
And that their patience, that there's a reason for their patience.
All right, well, enough picking on the Mets right now.
Critiquing.
We are critiquing. Looking around the league right now, some really good baseball has been played in the beginning of this season so far. It's been a really exciting start to the 2010 season. And what have you seen from any teams around the league?
I tell you what stands out for me, a couple things, Joe. One are the Minnesota Twins. I thought when they lost Joe Nathan, and I'm not saying I thought they were going to come out and go 0-8, but I really think that was a big hit for them. For John Rauch to step in right now, and at least right now look like he can do the job, for the Twins to open up that new ballpark and win on a 65-degree day in Minneapolis in April, it almost starts to get you to wonder, is this the Twins' year? They sign Mauer. They do things the right way in that organization. I happened to see that field last year. I was able to go on a tour during the postseason. And I guess they, to me, have been kind of one of the feel-good stories of the year because without Nathan, I still wonder, do they have enough to hold off the White Sox? I tell you what, in the East, we started out earlier, AL East, we started out talking about the Rays, the Red Sox, and the Yankees. I didn't mention the Blue Jays, and give the Blue Jays some credit.
Yeah.
I mean, do we think this is going to persist? Do I think the Blue Jays can win 90 games and maybe get in the wild card hunt? No, I don't. But for right now, the way that they're playing, you have to give them a lot of credit. Vernon Wells, been a couple, you know, several lonely seasons for this guy, not living up to the amount of money that he's being paid. He's off to a strong start. And then even the Oakland A's, they lead the American League in earned run average. They lead in quality starts. Yankees will see them next week. Do I think the A's are going to hang on? No, I don't, but that doesn't mean anything. Right now they are, and they're playing very well.
And it's funny, coming into the season, everybody talked about, you know, the Angels, you know, they might have lost a step, but they're still, you know, a favorite to win the AL West, and the Mariners just completely upgraded, and the Rangers going to be right there, and nobody talked about the Oakland A's.
No.
And it was good to see Dukeshire on the mound the other night, and he had a good performance. So they're a little bit of a feel-good story themselves.
They are, and they have the good young pitching, and Billy Beane has been stockpiling it. You have to see if, as I said, they can produce. It's the first couple of weeks of the season, but they do have some good young talent. And, Joe, that division is soft. Mm-hmm. I think the Angels are a grade below. I don't think they make up for Lackey, Figgins, and Guerrero. I think Matsui cancels out Guerrero, but I think in the other two slots, I don't think they're going to make up
much
for losing those guys.
I agree.
Seattle, I like their additions, but they can't score. Where's their offense?
It's true.
Figgins is supposed to help generate some offense. Where's their offense? I still think in that division, by the time the season is over, we're going to see the Angels in Seattle fighting it out.
All right, Jack. Well, we're going to be here all season. Keep it right here at YesNetwork.com and the Yes Network for Jack Kerry all season here with the Yankees. For Jack Kerry, I'm Joe Wariema saying we'll see you next time on the Pinstripe Podcast.